Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How y'all doing? I know I missed last week. I know. I'm so sorry. Sorry. I had a last-minute thing, and I didn't bring all my equipment. Oh, man. It's been a crazy, week. Yeah, crazy week. This time last week, I was actually getting ready to get on a train to New York City. But we'll get into all that. First off, as always, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for listening to my podcast. If I have any new listeners, welcome. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. I usually start my podcast off with a milestone. And for those who don't know, Miles is my son. He's 3 and a half, but he's currently at my parents' house. And I actually do have an update. When he first got there about a month or so ago, he was kind of afraid of my niece. My mom didn't like it, and I looked it up, and there tends to be toddlers who just don't like babies, and he was one of them. So now he's starting to warm up to her. When my sister drops her off in the morning to stay at my mom's house, he's waiting at the door. He's kissing her all the time. It's actually getting to the point where they're like, Miles, that's enough kissing. Leave her alone. So he loves his cousin Madison. So that's good. And we actually got him enrolled in a daycare yesterday. So, boom, another milestone. All right, moving on. So, what's been going on? So, week before last, after I did my podcast, you know, we had all these cop shootings and all this crazy stuff going on. And President Obama spoke about it. And it's just funny listening to the Republican response to all of that. The anti-PC culture, you know, we should be able to say what we want to say. And before he gave his speech, you hear all these Republican pundits talk about how President Obama needs to choose his words wisely. He needs to watch what he says. You know, he needs to let them know that he needs to let the cops know that he has their back, and he needs to say the right thing. And it's just like, it's so funny how they want him to be in this moment PC. But their candidate, Donald Trump, is just given the green light to say whatever the fuck he wants to say. You know? I hate that double standard. It's like either you want people to be PC or not. Either we should be able to speak our minds or we shouldn't. Now, I get it. PC can be a bit overboard, but there's a time and a place for everything. There's certain things I can say around my son. There's certain things I can say around my family, around my wife. Oh, great. I turn on the ice maker. Now it wants to be loud. So hopefully you guys can't hear that. But I don't know. So, I mean, I don't know where the line between PC and just being polite is, you know, or being professional. Where is that line? Is there really a difference between being PC and being polite? I mean, if you want to call people niggers and faggots in your own home, that's one thing. But out in public, it's just not a place for it. It's not the 1950s. And I think that's what people want. They want to be able to run their mouth with no repercussions. And that's not the case. There's a cause for everything that you do. It's even in nature, cause and effect. So it's just, hey, you run your mouth, you say fucked up stuff, you might get beat up. I feel like we live in a society, and I can't say now because I feel like people have always been this way, where people want to be able to say whatever they want, and they feel like as long as they don't physically touch you, then people should be fine with that. And that's not the case. You've had your run of talking down to people. You had your run of dumping fucking hot coffee and malt shakes on people's heads. And black people not having repercussion. Those days are gone, so just fucking get over it. So a couple of days ago, Michael Jordan finally, quote-unquote, broke his silence about this whole police brutality stuff that's been going on here recently. And I saw quite a few people on my Facebook feed like, finally, Michael Jordan says something. It's about time. And I'm thinking like, yo, what the fuck were you waiting for Michael Jordan to say something for? You know, is he like the Negro whisperer? Is he the one where all these gangbangers and just thugs and street dudes just waiting like, we're going to keep killing each other until Michael Jordan says something. Until he say until he talks, everybody dying. Fuck that. We killing everybody. Was that a thing? And why pick Michael Jordan? Why not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Why not Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Bill Russell, Charles Barkley? Well, he's actually spoken out. Why Michael Jordan? Because of his fucking sneakers? Is that why? Because we like his sneakers? Michael Jordan has to say something? What could Michael Jordan possibly say? Seriously, somebody please tell me, what the fuck could Michael Jordan possibly say that would stop the killing in the black community? In the violence. What could he say? I'm waiting. I mean, if crying mothers, fathers, grandparents, crying children on TV that you see in these news stories, you know, communities marching, people that you actually can relate to, people that you've seen on a day-to-day basis, if their tears, if their marches, their cries, their walks, if that won't stop people from killing, why do you think Michael Jordan, a billionaire who is so far removed from any of that, why do you think his words are going to do anything? They're going to fall on deaf ears. And I also feel like that kind of says something about, what are you trying to say about our black people? Black people. What are you trying to say? Like, we need to hear from our sneaker god that we're doing wrong. Barack Obama has said it. The president of the United States, the leader of the free world. If you won't listen to him and all those people that I just mentioned before, then what's the point of Michael Jordan saying anything? He's not a political person. He doesn't owe any statement to the black community because you've been buying his sneakers for the last 30 years. And for the record, Michael Jordan never invested in a prison, you dumb motherfuckers. Never. That's not him. Look it up. Stop posting that shit. I personally, not a huge fan of his. I don't buy his sneakers. Not a huge fan of his shoes. That's just me. But to try to put this responsibility off on him, like for some reason, because people have been shot and robbed and over his shoe, he needs to say something. That's something that you need to talk to your kids about. Look at yourself about. We need to look at ourselves, man. There's many factors into the condition of black people. But we also need to look at that part of that equation that deals with the shit that we can change. There's a lot of stuff that we can't change. Look at the stuff that we can. Michael Jordan, he donated $1 million to a police fund. And then he donated $1 million to the NAACP, like a legal fund thing. So it's just like he came out, said what he had to say. Shit needs to stop. And he donates money to both sides. I mean, other than that, what can that man do? And people love telling billionaires how to spend their own money. He doesn't owe anybody anything. Shit bothers me. What are you trying to say? Ugh. Yeah, to me, I think it kind of just reinforces that stereotype that we're just kind of ignorant and we look up to the wrong people if we're waiting for Michael Jordan to step up and say something. Yeah, I know he has black sons, but they grew up in a way different environment. And that's just something that he just doesn't do. Now, if it was me, I would definitely say something because it's something that I'm into. This is something I would love to voice my opinion about, this kind of stuff. Some people just keep things to themselves And I get it. You want, you know, your quote unquote heroes to feel like they're on your side, but they don't owe you anything. Yes, looking at the circumstances, it would be perfect. This guy is a hero in Chicago. I mean, he put that team on the map because before they were like, eh, and he changed sports. He changed style. We love his shoes. He did all these great things. He's a world. I get it. It would be the perfect opportunity. It would almost be like if all this shit was going on in Cleveland instead of Chicago, LeBron would have the perfect opportunity. I totally get it, people. I see that opportunity. I totally understand. But at the end of the day, that's not his personality, and he doesn't owe us. And he's not going to change anything. So let's not put so much pressure on these certain people to come out and speak on these issues. It's not going to change anything, man. It would be nice if he had that ability, but he doesn't. So let's back off of that. So last Tuesday, I'm eating lunch and I get a text from my buddy Mark Normand. You guys probably know him from earlier episodes. He opens for Schumer all the time. I open for him here in Charlottesville, and he's the guy who actually got me in the room to meet Schumer to do that opening spot for her. So get a text from him, and he's like, "Hey man, I'm doing Opie and Jim on Thursday. I'm running the show. Do you want to come out? We can have that talk about race." Because we've had some pretty lengthy text conversations about race, and I kind of opened his eyes up to some things. He's asked some questions, and I feel like he's learned a lot, and I've learned a lot as well, you know, just hearing things from his perspective. So I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to go. And this changes everything, because last Friday, my original plans were to drive up to Providence, Rhode Island last Friday and do these two shows with him. And I'm like, well, this changes everything. I have to leave tomorrow because the show is Thursday morning, and I need to be in New York the day before to get to the show in time. So a trip that just would have been a very long drive and me just not making a whole lot of money turned into a trip where I lost a shit ton of money, but I was given a huge opportunity. So I had to get a last-minute train ticket from Charlottesville to New York, and then New York to Providence, and Providence all the way back to Charlottesville. So that was like $400. I had to get a room in the city. I had a couple friends I text. They had stuff going on. Couldn't stay there. I had some family, but they had stuff going on. Couldn't stay there, so I had to break down and get a hotel in Midtown Manhattan, which is not cheap at all, people, especially if for the next day. Not cheap. So clear with the wife. She's like, you got to do this. You can't say no. So I get the room, get the hotel. Oh yeah, get the hotel, get the ticket, and leave the next day. And I'm about 20 minutes from Penn Station, New York City. I'm excited. I'm checking my email to make sure, you know, the address for my hotel. I look at my hotel reservation. It's for Friday. It's Wednesday. Actually, it's for Thursday, and it's Wednesday. So I'm like, I have nowhere to stay. So I try to call the hotel. They're like, that was made on booking.com. You got to call booking. So I call booking.com. I'm like, hey, I made a mistake. I'm like 20 minutes from my hotel. I need a place to stay. I can't be homeless for the night. So he looks it up, and he's like, yeah, the change, this, oh, and I'm trying to change it online, and it's just like, this is a unchangeable booking. You can't change this at all. You can't cancel it. The cancel fee costs just as much as the room, and I'm like, I'm fucked. So I call the guy. I'm like, hey, I need to kind of shift this back a day. I made a mistake. I need the room from Wednesday to Friday, not Thursday to Saturday. I don't know. I made a mistake when I was clicking on the days and stuff. So he's like, all right. He's like, all right, we can do it, but it's going to cost you like $150 to change it and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, God damn it. And he's like, well, let me just call a hotel. So he calls the hotel. I'm on hold. He comes back. He's like, great news. They can change it at no charge. So I'm like, thank God. So I get to my hotel. I've never been to a hotel where there's like literally a long ass line to check in. So, and my hotel is maybe like a block and a half, not even a block. When I walk out of Penn Station, I can see my hotel sign out of Madison Square Garden. So it's like almost right in the heart of Midtown. So I get to the hotel, long ass line, waiting. Meet up with a buddy, Darius. Later on, after I get checked in, we go out, have lunch. We're hanging around Times Square. So many damn people. I end up getting a last minute show at the Cave in the Creek. Very cool venue. They do a lot of stuff there. Legion of Skanks with Big J Ogerson and Louis J. Gomez. They have a huge podcast that they do out of there. So I go there. Pretty cool venue. I do the show. And it's a typical New York show. You know, it's billed as something really cool. You got drop-ins and all this kind of stuff. And I get there, and it's just like you're run-of-the-mill, shitty New York open mic. But it was fun. And shout-out to Daniel who let me on the show. But it's always fun just going to New York and doing shows, no matter if there's an audience or not. Just the fact that you're doing comedy in New York is a fun thing. I ran into a couple comics that I met at festivals and stuff, and my boy Steve Howe showed up to hang out. And so me and Steve, we jump in an Uber. We head uptown to New York Comedy Club where we meet Darius. He barks for them, and he got us into the show. And I got to see Marina Franklin, Zainab Johnson. And just so happened that Mark Norman was closing that show out. So we run into Mark up there at the club. We have a few drinks. He's like, hey, I'm doing a spot at the Cellar tonight at like 12:20. Won't you come hang out? So I'm like, cool. So hang out with Darius and Steve. Steve takes off. Darius and I go grab a late diner dinner. We hang out for a while. He goes home. I walk all the way from like 76 all the way back to 35th or 38th. I think it's 35th and 8th where my hotel is. I freshen up. The ball bag is sweating. I'm sweating. My feet hurt. Oh, I learned this. PF Flyers are not for walking around New York City, people. Not at all. Awful. Awful shoes for walking around. But I love PF Flyers. But those are not for walking, 20 blocks in New York City. One bit. So don't ever do that. I literally had like blisters on my feet. But it was a nice little walk. It was pretty late, but the weather felt great. So many crazy, nutty people out there, man. Get back to my hotel, freshen up, powder the old sack, hop in an Uber, get over to the Comedy Cellar, which is the comedy mecca. I walk in upstairs, Mark is sitting there, there's Todd Barry, Ryan Hamilton, Greer Barnes, who else is there? A bunch of other comics. Mark's going up soon, so when he goes up, he lets us downstairs, and I walk down the steps, and at which each step, I'm like, Chris Rock's walked down this step, his foot's touched this step, Louis C.K., Patrice O'Neal, Jim Norton, all these great comics, all the best comics in the world have walked down these steps, and here I am. And here I am walking down these steps I'm walking down the exact same steps that Patrice O'Neal's feet touched one day in the past. I'm walking around. I'm making some boiled eggs, and this timer's about to go off, so I got to stop this before it goes off. All right. Here we go. So Mark goes down. He has a hot set. We hang out. We have a few more drinks, kind of chatting it up with people. Go back to my hotel, get up the next morning to where I do XM radio. I get there kind of early. I'm nervous. The lounge is awesome. Or the lounge? The reception area. It's awesome, man. I don't know if you guys ever watch Entourage, but it's just like really modern and / futuristic looking. It's all white. They got glass walls and the colors are popping. It's just great looking. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm sitting on this white leather couch. Flat screens around, you know, all these pictures of celebrity. Welcome so-and-so, welcome so-and-so. All these people are showing up, all these good-looking people. Like, you know, everybody looks famous or important. You got the, you know, good-looking guys with their hipster haircuts and the 5 o'clock shadows, the skinny jeans. You got women walking around in rompers with long curly hair. It's like, who is she, a singer? Like, who are these people? And just here I am, just some average shape, dumpy dude, just sitting there looking like I don't belong. So I finally get called back into the studio. They introduce me. I'm on the Opie and Jimmy. It's Mark Norman, Greg Stone, Nick Cody. Ari Shaffir was supposed to call in from his colonoscopy, but he was put under. But we end up having a great show. I was on for almost two and a half hours, a little over 2 hours. We talked about race. I got a few good laughs. I made some really good analogies. I felt like when it came to race and race relations and just racism. so we had it ended up being a really fun show. Mark really enjoyed it. We had a great time. I got a lot of positive feedback on social media, which was great. Nothing negative, thank God. So I appreciate everybody that tuned in. So yeah, I go back. We do the show, and I go back to my hotel. I rest up, and I head to. What else did I do that night? Oh, I met my other buddy Dario Joseph. He's a Rochester comic. We went down to Lower Manhattan to a show. I didn't get to get on because I had another buddy who was like, hey, come do my show in Queens at 8. So I tried to get on this other show, but it didn't work out because they have to pick your name. And I didn't get picked in the first two rounds. So I had to leave. And I take a $32 Uber to Astoria, Queens from the Lower East Side. $32, I get to the show. And as soon as Ryan sees me, he goes, oh, man, I was just about to text you. The show's canceled. And I'm like, I just spent $30 to get here, man. Kid me. So he felt bad, bought me a beer. We hung out for a while, got some wings. They weren't great. And I spoke to Mark earlier, and he was like, yeah, I'm doing another set. And I was like, all right, I'll probably just come down to the Comedy Cellar and hang out. So I get to the Comedy Cellar kind of early. His set's not until like 11:20. I get there at like 10. I was expecting to do that show in Queens and being there for a few hours and then just jumping in on a train and going to the East Village for that to the Cellar, but didn't work out. Got there early. Saw Todd Barry again. Judd Apatow was there. Saw Will Silvince. So Mark shows up eventually. Hang out with him. I meet Lisa Traeger, Sam Morril. Who else did I meet? Nick Cody was there the first night. He's an Australian comic. He was also on the radio show. Very funny dude. Best Stelling. Oh, God damn it. I should have recorded this. I should have wrote it down. But I didn't want to seem like I was being too nerdy and like just making a list of people's names as I'm sitting at the table with them. I meet a couple other comics. I recognize some people from like Louis' show. So, yeah, we hang out there. Have a few drinks, go back to the room. Next morning, get up, getting ready to go to the train station to go to Providence. I look at my train ticket. The train ticket is for the next day. So I have to call Amtrak. I'm like, hey, I need to get on that train today. My train ticket's for tomorrow. I made a mistake. So that's two ticketing mistakes that I've made on this trip. And it cost me $20. To change it, not too bad. So and I get to go back to bed because my original train left at 7. This one leaves at 9. It's like a 4-hour train ride. I can get into my Airbnb at noon. So take the 9 a.m. train to Providence. I get there. It's like around 2:30 or something. I get to the house about 3. It's in this Airbnb was like less than $100. I'm staying there for a couple nights. I felt like it was a great deal. The pictures look fine. I get there. It's fucking filthy. It's filthy. They advertise a cat, but I don't want to see a shit-filled litter box when I get in there. It's in an awful neighborhood. I go to this Dominican place. They don't fucking want me in that place at all. The food was good, but she was kind of pissed. I didn't speak Spanish. I didn't know how to order the food. And I'm like, look, I've never been here before. Just help me out. Got a shit ton of attitude. There's no air conditioning in this place. It's hot as fuck. I really felt like I was being held captive by like a Colombian drug lord. I mean, it was just hot and sweaty. The fans going back and forth. It was awful. I couldn't get comfortable. When I was out to eat, the dude who owned the place actually texted me. He was like, "Hey, can you come back to the house and open the door for another Airbnb, another person staying at Airbnb?" I'm like, "Dude, I just got my food. I'm not rushing to eat. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten all day." She's like, "That's not my job. I get it. It's the right thing to do, but that's not my fucking job to let somebody else in your place. It's not my job." So I finally get back to the house. I let this dude in. I'm pissed off. I can't get comfortable because it's so goddamn hot. It's muggy. And I can't get comfortable. And I'm like, "You know what? You're paying your dues. This is part of the trip. All comics have done this. You know, the show's at 8. It's like probably like 4:30, close to 5. I need a sip of water, sorry. I'm just in a miserable mood, man. I'm just trying to relax. I feel like I'm being a diva. I'm like, "You know what? This is it. Just relax, man. You'll be fine. It's only for a couple of days. You do the show tonight. You'll have all day tomorrow. You do the show. You'll get up Sunday morning, and you'll be going home. You'll be all right. Just don't, you know, just bring it in." And I'm like, "Fine. I'll just take a shower, and I'll be okay." Go to take a shower, no fucking hot water. And I was like, "That's it, I'm done." So I take an ice cold shower, put my clothes on. I pack all my shit in my suitcase. I call an Uber. And it's about 7 o'clock. It's close enough to showtime. I'm like, "Fuck that, I'm out of here. I can't do this." And I just take my luggage to the club. I'm like, "I'm sorry. The Airbnb is awful. I can't stay there. I'm in a shitty mood." So I had to work something out. End up getting a hotel downtown. Mark is laughing at me because I'm telling him how this place is, and he's just like, "That's awful." And so I get a hotel downtown. I had to make some phone calls, people. Whew, this trip killed me, man. So I get a nice hotel downtown. It's clean. And see, that house, dude, it was one of those places where it's just hot and dusty. I don't know if you ever experienced hot and like just kind of dirty, dusty. Like if I laid on the bed, I would have to like wear clothes. It had that weird dusty vibe. The floors were sticky. I had a cat door on my door, so this cat's coming in and out. It was awful. I couldn't do it. So I stayed at a hotel downtown. I get up the next morning. I walk around. It's a great day. I get up kind of early. I don't really sleep very long. I don't know why. I can't. I sleep like 4 hours a night, and that's enough. And I walk around. They have all this great street art. They have all this art inside of buildings. So I'm taking pictures of, you know, buildings and drawings, and just, you know, they got old churches, and it's just a beautiful town. Not the part of town I was staying in before. And I grew up in areas like where I was staying at, and that's not where I want to pay to live. And I'm not afraid of being around black people, Dominican people, but I need to be around. I need to be in the hood in my area. Like I don't know the hood everywhere else. Like I feel comfortable in the hood when I go to Rochester, but any other cities, I'm like, I don't know the rhythms. I know Rochester rhythms, so I was like, I'm not paying to stay here. I'm pretty sure it was safe. That's why I didn't say it wasn't safe. It just was not a nice neighborhood. So, and I don't like being in areas where I don't know what to watch out for. So I had to get the fuck out of there, and I'm actually still in the works of trying to get my money back from that. So yeah, I walk around all day. I go to a Mexican restaurant. I mess around and get kind of tipsy at this restaurant. I'm watching soccer. I have like 3 beers and I'm like, "Man, I'm pretty toasted." So I walk back to the hotel. I'm like, my body's cramping up. I'm pretty dehydrated because I wasn't drinking a lot of water throughout this trip, and I was doing a lot of walking and a lot of beers. So I was cramping up, so I'm pounding waters. I feel a lot better. I actually pass out for a few hours. I get up, I iron on my clothes, 8 o'clock show, have a great show. Oh, I forgot to mention, yeah, Friday night, great show, had a lot of fun, great set. I thought I recorded my set, but I guess I didn't hit the record button. But shout out to Rohan. He was our MC, funny dude. And Doug Keys, he came out, funny guy. He came, he did guest spots on both shows. So Saturday I felt a lot better. Even Mark was like, you seem a lot more rested. And I had a good set, but it actually wasn't as good as it was Friday, but it was still good. I have that one on, I recorded that set. So that was a lot of fun. Great club, Comedy Connection there in Providence, Rhode Island. I spoke to the manager afterwards. He liked me. He was like, yeah, just give me a couple weeks, man. You know, give us a, shoot us an email or a text, and we definitely would like to have you come back and at least feature for now. So Mark put the word in for me with the other owner. So I think I might be in that club. So that's awesome. I had a great time. So we kind of hang out, have a few more drinks. There's another open mic show after Mark's show. We kind of hang out and meet a few of the local comics there. A couple funny guys. Didn't catch many names. But go back to the hotel, get up the next morning, and I jump on the train, and boom, I'm back home Sunday night at about 7:30. So there you go, folks. That's my trip. New York and Rhode Island and a shitty Airbnb. There's a show. That's the show. I'll see y'all later. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, and the email for the podcast is negropleaseradio@gmail.com. I'm out. Peace.